Lots of footy stuff kicking around. This is just a couple of things for tomorrow night. Easton Wood and Stephen Martin, both likely to play against the Cats, so that's good news. Cam Guthrie looks set to return for the Geelong Footy Club, so that's significant. Quentin Narkle, we spoke about him last week, Quentin Narkle, may miss again. This is what Chris Scott had to say on this young, talented young player.
We want all our players to be disappointed and driven and a little bit frustrated when they're not in our 22. We don't want any of them to be too content. Everything we're seeing from Quinton leads us to believe that he's going to do everything he can to force his way into the team.
Yeah, so and they know better than anyone how to handle their players, keep them hungry, keep them a little bit on edge, be a little bit angry. It's all such a good thing, but it's going to be a big night tomorrow, and I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a great game. 7,000 people there were spoken about, so we'll find out. I think the Cats, last week, we just said this, just sliding along a little bit under the radar-ish, came out and performed beautifully last week, but they've got big tests, got three big games coming up, so we'll find out definitively where they're at.
We will. Is Cam Guthrie now their number one midfielder?
I think so.
Yeah. Most important Duncan, midfielder too?
Yeah, Mitch Duncan I rate enormously highly, and that's not the, then you got Selwood and Dangerfield. But on the basis of the last 12 months, he's been their best performed, I think.
I think in terms of the all-round game, the inside, the spread, the ability to be able to defend really quickly, the ability to be able to get in behind the defence and chip kick and find his way through traffic, all that type of thing. I think he's now their best all-round midfielder.
I think they're well served through there. I mean, that's the best thing for them. Mitch Duncan back into that side makes such a difference as well.
Yeah.
So looking forward to that.
We're going to talk about the St Kilda situation. There was a couple of developments yesterday. One being that Matt Finnis, who's the CEO of St Kilda, went on program here with Jared Waitley to try and explain the decisions around Seb Ross and Tim Membry to return home, and the criticism apparently that had been levelled at them internally. This is what he had to say.
What I would say is that, like any organisation that's in a highly competitive industry, you know, we debate these decisions. But ultimately, once decisions are made, we get behind the players and we give them our support and we get on with our business. What we did, Joe, was just to check if there's anything more that the club could do to help the guys feel supported. So, you know, if that's about checking in and debating, then absolutely that's part of what we do. You can be disappointed, but you can be understanding. I don't think emotions are mutually exclusive.
Because of the fallout of this, Seb Ross was moved last night to issue a statement and put out a statement saying that on behalf of myself and my family, I want to address some of the commentary around my decision to head home. This was never to be about me or meant to be about me. In the last few days have not only been tough on my family, but also an unnecessary distraction for the footy club. When we were told we'd be staying in Sydney longer than originally planned, I made the decision to go home and support my wife and our three young children with the intention and hope that I could apply for a border exemption and return in time to face Adelaide. So, and that didn't eventuate. So he was forced to do that. I know that that has caused a lot of heartache and anxiety around the family, that people are talking about this because it was brought to light. This is where it all started. Footy Classified on Monday night, Caro questioning Seb Ross and Tim Embry.
He wasn't prepared to go to hang around in Sydney and go to Cairns for another week. This despite the fact several senior leaders at the football club asked him to stay. And I must stress, there is no medical problem with the twins. I know it's tough when you're home alone with twins, but there were other family people who maybe could have been with her. Membry's wife was due to give birth.
They said they left with full support.
Well, I would question that. I think there would be, and I think supporters and sponsors and members and other teammates would have every right to be a bit disappointed.
So they're on Footy Classified, Caro supported the fact that they should be disappointed with Seb Ross and Tim Membry moving home. Later the next day on Don't Shoot the Messenger podcast, she had this to say.
I will not apologise for basically saying what I think is a perfectly reasonable conversation. I even would question whether Seb Ross will be at the club next year. You know, this is a legitimate story and a legitimate talking point.
Okay, then last night on Footy Classified, given the criticism that's been around this story and the reporting around this story, she responded in this way.
And yes, I did have an opinion that St Kilda fans had a right to be disappointed. Now, I'm standing by that opinion. People can say they're staggered and shocked. I think the pile-on has been pretty shocking, to be honest, and some of it's been personal. A lot of people have said, how dare I speak on behalf of the family. Now, I have enormous sympathy for any young mother. I know about that better than anyone because I'm the one person here who has been a young mother with young children. But I wouldn't have said it if I hadn't spoken to people at the club, and I don't think those St Kilda teammates who asked Seb to stay did so without knowing his situation.
And so there we have it. Gary, it's amazing how people, when it suits them, spin a story around to suit themselves in terms of, I'm the victim here. At no stage, when she brought up the story, did she support the view or point out that it offer any sympathies now that she's asking those same things for herself in a response last night on Footy Classified. It is absolutely breathtaking. Absolutely breathtaking.
Yeah. Yes, it is, Tim. Apparently you can only have a conversation on this if you want to square up for something. That was the other thing that came out of that. Oh, this is the last thing I'll say on this. Caro's doubled down. I'll double down. You don't speak on behalf of the family. You just don't. And all you need to know about this story for me, again, 10 years ago, I would have been in the other camp. You become a bit more empathetic, whatever. Seb said, in that statement, Seb Ross said this: I knew I needed to be at home to help my wife Marnie with our 5-week-old twin boys and daughter Charlotte. This was me simply supporting what I cherished most, my family. End of story.
That is the end of the story. That is the end of the story, and that's all you need to know. And the fact that anybody else out there thinks that they've got a right then to be able to question somebody's behaviour and putting their family first is just extraordinary. It is extraordinary.
But the twins were fine, apparently.
Okay, here you go again, Tim. Another personal attack. Your personal issues with Caro are disgraceful. I don't have a personal issue with Caro. But having said that, every time Caro talks about me in some way, she says that I hate her and plays the victim again. Well, I don't hate her. I just disagree with her on this point.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's the end of it anyway.
Yeah. But it has caused a lot of distress to a young family and a young mum who now, I guess, is feeling that, you know, have I pressured the situation? Have I inflamed this whole situation? We just want to live a quiet, private life somewhere. And then this has been thrown up there, out there in the public forum.
Seb Ross, this was me simply supporting what I cherish most, my family. And that a damn game of football comes a long, long way behind.
And this is not a pile-on. But if you are involved in public discourse like you and I are each and every day, and people have a different view to you, and 90% of people out there, I would think, that we've had on our program and across text have a different view to the one that Caro espoused on the program the other day. So that's not a pile-on. That's just a difference of view. So don't start playing the victim in all this.
Right. Let's move right on. David Mackay's situation tonight is going before the tribunal. It is going to be adjudicated. I've done more reading and spoke to more people about this over the course of the last 24 hours. There's so much about this tonight. Jared Healy has maybe got the best summation of this, I reckon. He said, you can't find tomorrow's answer to today's incident. So
good point.
I think that's where, when you think and you talk and you're trying to sum it up, I think Jared's turn of phrase there was perfect. Okay, if that's where we're going to get to with the game, and we want to stamp this out, we don't want these sorts of things, then we need to legislate for that. It doesn't exist right now. So to be able to find David Mackay guilty on the basis of what we might want to have happen down the track, and I don't necessarily agree with all that, but hey, that might be where you're going, then I don't think tonight's the place to make that statement.
No, you're right. So what is all this about then, if that's the case? Is this just about the AFL making sure that, given how much publicity this type of incident received, that they've covered all angles and they've done what you'd expect the organisation to do?
Yeah, well, maybe. And this is, as you said yesterday, and Steve Hocking is the one who's driving this. So this is not Michael Christian. This is not the MRO. This is Steve Hocking is saying, on behalf of the game, we need to look at this. And I want it to go to the tribunal so we can make a decision. But as Jared said, it's hard to retrospectively apply a rule that's not even there in the first place.
Unless the tribunal members actually deem this to be a bump in some way and not what most other people have described it as being.
Correct.
They may come back with a completely different view.
Yep. Let's go to Michael in Bentley. G'day, Michael.
Hi, boys. Good morning. Thanks for taking the call.
Good.
Look, I think the current rules do apply. I think the way that the AFL has talked about protecting the head and duty of care, Ross Lyon summed it up perfectly last night on Footy Classified. You can see McKay step over the ball, turn his shoulder and brace. At that stage, the point of his shoulder hit Hunter Clark in the head. Now, based on the current rules, that's about 2 weeks. Now, should he get more for the outcome of the injury? I've never agreed with that, and I still am not to agree with that. You know, that is the footballing accident. But under the current duty of care policy that they've instigated for a number of different incidents, he pretty much gets 2 weeks for the time. I think all the rest of it is like white noise. People are throwing bits and pieces up. But I thought up until last night, I was the only one in viewing that incident that saw him step past the ball, turn the shoulder to brace and protect himself, and that's all good and well.
That's if you accept that's what happened, Michael. And I absolutely respect your view and your opinion. You've looked at it, and that's how you see it. I don't think he ran past the ball. So I guess that's the other thing they'll have to determine first and foremost tonight. I think he was playing the ball. If he had a run over the ball and made the contact, then I don't think we're having this discussion. I don't think anyone would be having this discussion. If he wasn't making the ball his priority, then he gets everything that's coming his way. But I still think, in my opinion anyway, and I respect that we disagree on this, is that he was still playing the ball. Good on you, Mick. Thanks for that. Lots of stuff coming through. Lots of stuff. We need to work our way through that, and we'll continue to have this discussion. There's other footy going around at the moment, but I think this is the hot point at the moment. The conversation started for the Kia Sorento Drive Car of the Year. You can call through if you want to have your say, because tonight is going to be a landmark decision. 1300 736 736. We'll take your calls as well.
Kogan Credit Cards. No annual fees, amazing rewards and complimentary Kogan First membership.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Great to have you with us this morning. Jordan Lewis, Matthew Johns, George Samios to come. Lots of messages coming through about David McKay and what's to take place tonight. You think it's not going to be hotly anticipated? It certainly is, if this is anything to go by. Lou is in East Malvern. G'day, Lou.
G'day, Gary. G'day, Tim. Hope you guys are well.
Good.
Good. I've just been listening, obviously, the last few days on the McKay incident, and a caller that rang before actually made one point. And Gary, you said, look, even though you appreciate his view and his opinion, I'm a bit like you. I look at that incident. I don't think McKay ran past the ball at all. And I think both him and Clark both had eyes for the ball. And look, it was an accident. It was a football accident. But if you compare that incident to an incident a few years ago with Trent Cotchin, in that incident there, that's a perfect example of a player actually both going at the contest, but Cotchin clearly making the decision to run past the football and, you know, take the player out before he went for the ball. The other night, no way. McKay and Hunter both, at the same point of contact, had their eyes fixed right on the ball. And that's the only incident I can compare it with.
Yeah, good on you, Lou. Thanks for that. I think that'll be established with Spot. I don't imagine that's going to be argued that he was running past the ball, because otherwise that's a very easy decision for them to make. So I think that'll be established pretty quickly. And then
this is the charge. I'm just going back to that charge, Gary, because I think it's important. They're going to argue that McKay carelessly engaged in rough conduct. Yeah. That was unreasonable in the circumstances, even if he was contesting the ball, bumping Clark or both. So that's their argument.
Do you think it's one of the questions you'll have to answer, or the tribunal. Was it reasonable for him to be going at the footy in the manner that he did?
Yes, it was. Even if he was contesting the bull, and even
that's what we think.
That's the charge. So if you and I were sitting on the tribunal tonight, we're only listening to the charge, and that's how he's been charged. So on those points, we would disagree with that, and we would say that it was reasonable under those circumstances.
Yeah. Which then ball goes back into the court of Steve Hocking in the end.
That's right. You made, not for the first time, you made your best point on this post the show yesterday when there was no one.
I do my best work when we're not
after the show, when no one was listening. You said, and this is a great point, how is it possible to get three people to sit on the tribunal tonight as the jury, effectively, that haven't already seen this incident over and over and over again, and to have not formed that view about this incident yet, or not been influenced by the conversations that have been going on around this incident? How is it possible to get three people to do that?
I asked yesterday, do we know who the three are? That may have been announced, and I may not have been on board up to speed with it, but we rang around yesterday because we were going to do our own mock trial. Today, and this, we were going to do our mock tribunal of this incident. We're going to, there's a few people we had in mind to get on, but we can't just have everyone thinking the same way that we are, that we think it's okay. And we struggled to find, ex-players or members that, may have made this interesting, those that had an alternative view. So are you going to be able to find, if it's three ex-players, what's the basis of the tribunal? Do we know who they are?
No, I don't. No, we don't. No, we're shaking our head here. We don't know. No.
Right, so maybe three ex-players that have come on.
Well, maybe,
and I'm not saying
maybe
that our opinion.
Maybe they've flown them in from Ireland or somewhere else around the globe. Yeah. That would be the only way that people haven't already formed a view about this.
Yeah. Also, back on the messages coming through from St Kilda that you guys haven't, you failed to acknowledge the point about St Kilda. So the nature of Caroline's story wasn't questioned. Is that she agreed with what she says was happening at St.
That's
Kilda.
Right.
So that was a concern for me 100%. It was yesterday and is today.
Yeah.
The level of support that was extended to Seb and Tim.
I agree with that. And I think it's appalling that they would... I thought what was appalling was that they spent... they were so quiet for so long around this. They just left... both those players out to hang for 24 hours before they made a response or gave a response about it.
Michael's in Williamstown. G'day, Michael.
Morning, gents. Given there's two players going for the ball and there's a collision, I just wonder if the outcome had been reversed and Mackay from Adelaide had have suffered the terrible injuries, would he be under scrutiny now? Would Hunter Clark be under scrutiny now?
I would suggest not on what the basis of what we've read, Michael, because they're talking about unreasonable. Now, nothing about what Hunter Clark did was unreasonable. That brings into velocity and pace and how far back you've come and all those things that are going to be debated tonight, which we don't think are an issue, but others do. So when we talked about Seb and Tim, by the way, Simon Lethlean spoke with us on that day, and Simon said, on that day, we support the decision.
Now, that's right, he did too, because you actually had the story. You had heard about the fact that they might have been coming home from Sydney, and you put it to him at that time, and he said that they do have the support. But that's not unusual that clubs say one thing publicly and then they think something differently behind the scenes. And nobody's questioning the fact that that story's not right, and they may have been concerned and they may have been disappointed, all those things.
Gary's changed his mind from a couple of weeks ago with the Plowman incident. Why should Plowman pull out but Mackay is allowed to go for the ball? No. I talked about this yesterday during my discussions as well. So my argument with the Plowman one was that had he been in a legitimate attempt to spoil, then I wouldn't have had an issue. So my opinion, again, right or wrong, you don't have to agree with it, was that he didn't legitimately choose to spoil. Therefore, he's... culpable for the head high contact, but it's an interesting discussion, and we're not going to agree that is for sure on this throughout the whole of the footy community. Hey, there was some positives for Carlton continuing yesterday too. Was it on your news where we saw Charlie Kerno doing some really good work?
Yeah,
and Andrew Russell, who says that that Charlie's progressing really well. Let's have a listen.
Charlie Kerno continues to progress really well. He's back out there doing skills, which is great. Everyone's excited to have him on the track. He looks as dynamic as he's ever looked. He's kicking goals from 50, which the boys love, gets him up and about. He needs a month at least of full training, and then at that time we'll assess and see when he's ready to be out there on the footy field again.
That's positive. That's optimism.
Well, that's a follow-on from the fact that Harry Mackay has re-signed at the club, which is a great thing for Carlton. Wayne Campbell has written an article in The Age today, Big Changes May Be On The Way at Carlton. That's the headline. Obviously, he doesn't write the headline. But he makes this interesting point. What can Blues fans expect from this review? Change? Big change? Well, you don't get to this position and then punt the property steward. So what are you saying? You don't conduct a review like this and then punt the property steward. So there will be some change around the coach. And he goes back to the review they did at Geelong many years ago. And at the end of all that, they decided that Bomber Thompson was to stay as the coach, but he just needed to focus more on football. So changes were made around him, which is exactly what might happen here as a result of this Carlton investigation into their football club and the way that it handles situations and the way that it's run and conducted.
Yeah, well, they go in with they should go in with no preconceived ideas about what they're going to find, and it might spit out that the players aren't good enough. Well, it might spit out that the coach is not good enough. It might spit out a whole lot of different things. So, interesting. I think Carlton people generally who you talk to are pretty happy that the review's happening.
Yeah, well, they should be. They should be. Yeah. I mean, when you're not performing to the expectation that everybody expected you to, or you expected yourselves to do, then you've got to find the reasons why. And then, you've got to identify those problems, Gary, and then you've got to fix them. And we watch Carlton play, and I think we all understand what their problems are from time to time, and we're not seeing a fix to those problems. So then the determination of this review is then to find out, okay, why haven't they been fixed? Is it because the players aren't adhering to the plan, or aren't they putting the right plan in place? Who's responsible for that department within their coaching structure? And that's what these reviews do. They spit out the answers to those questions.
It's a big job for Matt Pavlich, isn't it? So he's going to have to obviously come over and embed himself here and spend a lot of time talking to a lot of people. He's one of the reviewers.
Mm. Is that what you... I guess he'll have to. You can't... you can't do a review from Perth.
No, exactly. So, that's a big responsibility at the feet of the champ, the champ from Western Australia.